welcome to the Food Guilt to Food Freedom podcast. I'm Emma, a dietitian specializing in disordered eating and eating disorders. If you've been dieting your whole life and feel swamped with guilt and shame by the world of diet culture and influences, you're in the right place. On this podcast, our mission is to crush confusion and give you tips and strategies to build a better relationship with food and your body. Exciting news to drop, I've just launched Meal Mastery, a three-part mini course to help you craft a simple forever meal system, conquer binges and break free from yo-yo dieting in 2024. Grab it now in the show notes for the link. Hello, hello, happy Wednesday. I am finally back. I know I've taken a month's hiatus. I have been traveling through a bunch of cities and eating my way through each city. I've done Bali, Amsterdam, Barcelona, and I'm currently in Madrid and kicking on. So I do apologize for a late episode, but hopefully you can all forgive me. And if you do follow me on Instagram, you might have been following along with my foodie adventures. So hopefully that has been a little bit entertaining in the meantime. But we are going to jump into another episode today, and this one is all about intermittent fasting. And really the main question here, and to really ponder over if it's something that you've considered, is should I do intermittent fasting? Now, I know in, you know, the world, this is a pretty popular diet type and something that you either have probably tried or you probably definitely know someone who has done it. It's become a really popular approach to sort of weight loss and this perceived health. But for, I guess, women particularly with a history of disordered eating, particularly those of you who may struggle with binge eating, if you are listening to this podcast, then the decision to, you know, start intermittent fasting or go back to this style of eating if it's something that you've tried before is something that you want to carefully consider and potentially and dive into like the understanding of what its potential impacts are on both your mental and physical well-being. Okay, so to start off with, I just want to define like what is intermittent fasting, or otherwise known as time-restricted eating. Intermittent fasting generally involves cycling between a period of eating and fasting. So there's various ways that people do this in terms of duration and frequency, but I guess the most common one I hear is usually the 16-8 method, which includes fasting for 16 hours and then eating within an 8-hour period. Or the other quite popular one is the alternate day fasting, so like fasting one day and then sort of that regular eating on the other day. So there are also others who might just, you know, hold out on eating for as long as possible when they wake up in the morning. So that you can see that there's different and varied approaches to this start to, I guess, the definition of intermittent fasting. But ultimately, there is a time where we are restricting our eating and then a time where we are allowed to, quote unquote, I guess, eat. So I think there are definitely some thought patterns that I have noticed that usually come out with this style of eating. And that is that there is this sense of freedom to eat whatever you want in that open period window, clients will often feel that it is easier to control their eating patterns with this style of eating because they don't feel as guilty including foods that, you know, maybe they deem as bad because they have fasted for a long period of time before that, for example. So this is where it starts to get a bit problematic. But hopefully that gives you an understanding of what I mean when I'm talking about intermittent fasting. There will be other, you know, different styles of it, but you get the, you know, the main gist. I want to delve into what the, I guess, proposed health benefits are of intermittent fasting and what the research is actually showing at the moment, at current. And so you probably have heard the benefits of intermittent fasting are, of course, the weight loss that is often promised with it and improved metabolic health markers, such as, you know, improved insulin, blood pressure, cholesterol. Those types of things are what I mean by metabolic health markers. Now, some studies have definitely, you know, as with anything, some studies have shown positive outcomes associated with intermittent fasting, but remembering that you can find a study on anything. So what I'm talking about here in this section is what I guess majority of the research is currently saying, And please do note that, you know, the research landscape is always changing and evolving. What we know now is probably not potentially the 100% truth, but we're just going off the evidence base that we have right now. So in quite simpler terms, I guess, research suggests that intermittent fasting or time-restricted eating, whichever one you want to use, can lead to similar weight loss and improvements in those kind of metabolic health markers that I've mentioned that are very similar to if we were to do a different style of restricted eating. So whether that be, you know, following a low calorie plan or doing another style of a restrictive diet. The research I'm talking about here is where they are comparing intermittent fasting to a different style of restrictive eating. Okay, so we're not comparing intermittent fasting to just like a standard regular diet. We're talking about the two differences here. So between that, there is some evidence indicating that intermittent fasting can cause actually slightly more muscle loss compared to those eating in another restrictive pattern. It also has some evidence to show that there is a decreased physical activity in this group and likely no, you know, additional improvements in metabolic markers anyway, compared to those other regular restricted eating practices. Okay, so this kind of makes sense due to having, I guess, you know, less overall fuel coming into the day at regular time points that might be exacerbating potentially a bit more muscle loss. And because we're not having a regular top up throughout the day, then, you know, we can kind of think about it as our body, you know, down regulating and going into a somewhat power saving mode, which may be leading to that decreased physical activity or incidental movement throughout the day. And this is why I always say that the calorie in versus calorie out equation is not so black and white, and we miss the complexity in the middle that is our bodies and how our bodies will adapt to the changing situation in order to keep us, you know, as stable as possible, because that's what our body's like. Additionally, people following, I guess, intermittent fasting might experience some extra side effects like constipation, feeling cold, getting headaches, which tends to be a bit more common here than traditional dieting again. Either way, those side effects are pretty sucky. So we obviously are wanting to, you know, be able to eat in a way where we don't feel those things and they aren't side effects for us. The other really important thing I wanted to note here is that, again, there's still a lot we don't know about the long-term effects, the sustainability and the safety of, you know, intermittent fasting and time-restricted eating and even other types of diets. We know that the sustainability rates aren't great. And I think especially when it comes to people with a history of disordered eating, that's where the research is lacking. And we really want to hopefully delve more into that so that we can fully understand the risks and benefits. Understandably, these studies are really hard to conduct as well. So just want to, you know, put that as a mini disclaimer as well. Now, I want to jump into like who intermittent fasting is probably not for. Of course, sure, we can probably all find someone in our lives that have done intermittent fasting. Maybe it's been really suitable for them. I personally actually don't know a lot of people who have been able to stick with it long term. And, you know, that's just my experience. But I definitely know a ton of people who have tried it. And I can't think of anyone off the top of my head who has been able to sustain it long term. But if you are someone with a history of disordered eating, then I think there's a little bit more to consider here. Generally, those who struggle with binge eating or emotional eating or don't have a great relationship with food as it is, I would say you would find that intermittent fasting would generally tend to exacerbate rather than alleviate everything that's going on. And I'm going to talk through a few points of why that is to help you guys, you know, make an informed decision and understand what the potential risks are. So if you're someone with that, you know, not so great relationship with food, intermittent fasting can trigger or exacerbate, I guess, some of those unhealthy behaviors and thought patterns that you might already have surrounding food. So intermittent fasting is another rigid structure or rule that you are implementing on your eating, okay? And that can often fuel feelings of deprivation, guilt or shame, especially if we break the rule, right? If we can all think of someone who has done intermittent fasting, either yourself or another, how many people have been able to sustain it? If you haven't, or if someone hasn't, someone can potentially think of that as a rule break, thinking that, you know, they're not good enough, and that's what leads to the guilt, the shame, which can also then lead to increased cravings and binge eating episodes, especially during either the eating window periods where you're open or when we've decided, you know, we've failed intermittent fasting and therefore we may as well, you know, go nuts, go crazy, and then we binge, you know, after the intermittent fasting is essentially over. Alternatively, I have also heard some people say, you know, they have found it helped for a time because often they felt less guilty about eating certain foods during the open eating period because they had fasted. So they almost felt like they had earned it or they had deserved it. But the problem here is that this keeps the perpetuating cycle of keeping this moral code on foods where we feel like they are good or bad or they fit in these different buckets, which we know that long term that is going to further impact your relationship with food. This is particularly true for many, especially those who eventually can't continue with this style of eating, you know, thinking about we love going out for brunch, right? Brunch with the girls. That is a thing that brings joy. So if we're constantly intermittent fasting, we might not be able to participate in some of these things. And so when that wall finally breaks, the floods come through and that binging can come back on tenfold due to that extended time of being especially restrictive as well. Lastly, intermittent fasting can also disrupt, I guess, natural hunger cues and appetite regulation that often comes or we often learn to pick up when we have a regular eating pattern. So when we don't, this makes it even more difficult for you over time to decide, you know, is this actually genuinely hunger at the moment? Or is this an emotional response or a psychological trigger? Like, is something else going on that is urging me or like pushing me to eat? This disconnect that we then have because we're not in tune with our cues can then, you know, continue that cycle of binge eating and emotional distress. I will often have people come to me saying they have no idea how to read their hunger fullness cues anymore. And this then leads to them not trusting their bodies and not trusting themselves around food. So this is a big key aspect that we need to build on. And intermittent fasting may, you know, exacerbate this as a problem or bring it up as a problem for you if it's something that you're thinking about trying or you've tried before. So what am I saying here, right? Of course, the big message, I guess, is if you are someone with a history of disordered eating and particularly binge eating, then I think intermittent fasting may not be the best approach for you. The restrictive nature of it can really just exacerbate things and those potential side effects and the lack of actually long-term safety data or long-term, you know, health benefits make it even more important for you guys to consider, you know, what are the, I guess, benefits of you going ahead with this style of eating. So if you're here, I'm going to leave you guys with four questions to ask yourself before you decide to try intermittent fasting if it is something you want to do. At the end of the day, it is your decision, but hopefully this little episode just helps to inform you a little bit more. But question one to ask is, you know, what is your relationship with food like? Is it a good one or not? Consider whether you do view food as nourishment and enjoyment, or is it something that needs to be strictly controlled, and is intermittent fasting a way for you to do that? Because that would probably be a red flag for you. Question two is, do you enjoy going for long periods without eating? Okay, reflect on your eating habits and your lifestyle. Do you find it, you know, easily comfortable to wait till lunch to eat a meal because you genuinely, you know, are never hungry in the morning, and then you can eat, you know, a variety of foods throughout the day and it doesn't cause you any distress? Or are you someone who gets up in the morning and you're hungry, or, you know, you're just someone who trains, or you love going out for breakfast or brunch? You know, how will this style of eating impact you? Question three is kind of covered in question two, but a specific one is, I want you to ask yourself how intermittent fasting may impact on your social eating occasions. How will it impact your ability to enjoy meals out with your friends and your family, go to gatherings, go to special events? This is something really, really important to consider, because if you're thinking about intermittent fasting, then I want you to think about it as a lifestyle thing, right? Can you sustain it? Does it fit in with your lifestyle and how you like to live your life? And number four, why do you want to do intermittent fasting and what is the benefit for you? Okay, evaluate what is the reason behind your interest in this style of eating. So if it is some of the like potential benefits in terms of like weight loss and metabolic markers, then have a think, you know, is this style of eating the best option for you? And truly, how will it benefit you? Do you think you will achieve, you know, that long-term weight loss and those improvements to metabolic markers? Or are you likely to be someone who would not be able to sustain it and potentially, you know, break that floodgate and binge even more after that time point? You will know yourself best and you'll probably resonate with, you know, whether or not you're one of those. But that's four questions to ask yourself. So just to recap them, do you have a good relationship with food? Do you enjoy going for long periods without eating? How will intermittent fasting, I guess, impact your social eating occasions? And why do you want to do it? And how will it actually benefit you? To sum it up, I guess intermittent fasting is not the devil. It's also just not the, you know, halo diet that everyone thinks is going to work and should work for them. While I don't, you know, absolutely don't deny that it can be helpful for some people out there, I don't think it is a universally appropriate or effective strategy, especially if you are someone with a history of disordered eating. So before you do decide to try something like this, I would just encourage you guys to really prioritize your mental and physical health first, and seek support from, you know, a qualified professional if you have access to one, to help you analyze and make sure that this style of eating would actually benefit you. That brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for your patience with me on getting this particular episode out. I just wanted to put a little request in at the end here. Please do DM me with any podcast episode ideas or questions if you do have them, and I'd love to unpack them because I need a few more ideas. So definitely don't be shy and I'll see you in my inbox. Thanks so much for tuning in with me on today's episode. I'd love to know what you guys learned or what small skill or strategy you could take away and try today. Please don't be afraid to DM me on Instagram. If you've enjoyed it or found it useful in any way, I would so appreciate if you can take a spare minute to leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, as it helps me get the word out about this new podcast. Thanks again, team, and I'll see you at the next one.